that are going on where we can talk about what we're learning and be able to challenge our thinking in regard to what our purpose is here on this earth. As I was preparing to come up and speak with you today, I just started reflecting back on my own life back years ago before I went to church, before I knew who God was. And I thought about the things that went through my mind. And one of those things was I was concerned about whether or not I could truly have a relationship with God. I'd heard about God, didn't know if I could please Him, didn't know if I could really connect with Him. Remember, the other thing I was concerned about is I've heard about people going to church, and I wondered if it'd be possible that I could actually go to one where I would fit in. Then I remember another thing I was concerned about. I had some things in my life that I wasn't sure how I was going to be able to change them. And I was wondering if God had any answers to help me become different. And then I remember that there was one thing that I never really thought about so much, but became very instrumental in my life, is I wondered if there was any way that I had any kind of impact or I could have any kind of contribution to this whole thing with God. Well, as I thought about that, those all pretty much match with the first three purposes we've already talked about before. We've talked about the fact that God wants to have a relationship with us, and He wants us to love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and all our might. We learned also that God has a design for us to have a community of people that we can be together with. We've also learned that God has a plan for us to become like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now today we're going to look at that He has a plan that we might be able to utilize these other purposes in our life to accomplish some things. So I'd like you to take some time to look at this message with me today as we consider getting in shape for service. Taking these other things that God has given to us and use them for something, that there's some kind of product as a result of that. Another way I said this is burning up spiritual calories. Some of you may have, after the first of the year, decided you needed to go on an exercise program. Maybe you've got an exercise machine in your house that's collecting dust right now. We've done that. And maybe some of you have some spiritual exercise equipment in your house that has been collecting some dust, and maybe today we can talk about how that we can use them to burn some spiritual calories. Before we do, let's have a time of prayer, and then I'm going to talk about three words. Now some of you are thinking, this is a good Sunday to come. He's only going to talk about three words. So we'll talk about those three words in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being able to gather together today. I pray that You will use me as Your vessel. I thank You so much that You're willing to use me as Your servant, and that it's not based upon my inherent value or anything along that line, but that You're willing to count me faithful and use me. Lord, I thank You for all the individuals that You have put into place to make our ministry for the week and for months to happen, each one with their special abilities, interests, and such, that we might be able to accomplish those things which be pleasing to You. Father, I pray that now it's my job to bring forth Your word, that I will do so in a clear fashion, that it will be helpful to those who have come today. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Three different words. If you have your information sheet on the back, you have all three of those words in the form of acrostics. Some of you are familiar with our Awana program. And an Awana is an acrostic. Those of you that are in our Joy, just older youth, that's an acrostic. Well, today I'm going to talk about three acrostics. One of them is going to be the acrostic SMILE. Okay? You guys want to try that? I got hand action for everything. Okay? Okay, SMILE. All right? SMILE. That's a SMILE. Okay? And the next one is going to be shape. Okay, next word is shape. Shape. Everyone make a shape for me. Shape. Okay, we all made a shape. And the third thing we're going to talk about is scope. Okay, there you go. Thank you. Scope. All right, all of us are getting the Columbus eyepieces out and ready to go. So we're going to talk about three words. The first one is what? Smile. And then we have shape. And then we have scope. You all got it, you all go home. No, just teasing. No, you can't get off that easy. Let's look at these three words and how they apply to the issue of service. If you're reading along with us in the book, you'll find some of these things dealt with in different ways, but as I prepared this message, I used a little bit of my involvement in putting it together so that I can understand a little bit better. But I want to look at the first five things that go along with the word smile. And that would be starting out with the spiritual maturity involves love's expression. For you to remember, smile, if I serve with a smile, I'm recognizing that spiritual maturity involves love's expression. I include this for this very important reason, is that God has designed as a part of maturing in Christ the element of ministry. That He hasn't separated these two things out. He hasn't designed it to where you might be involved with maturing and then you might be involved with ministering. God has put them in together to where they bear out with each other. So it's spiritual authority involving love's expression so that as we continue to grow like Christ, there's a special spiritual expression of love that wants to come out so that we can accomplish that which pleases God. I've got to share with you just a thing that happened in my life several years ago. I've been pastoring for about 7 years. Half of that time I spent trying to pastor a small church that was struggling and work full-time in a job that was an hour away from home. And so I was gone from home sometimes 12 hours a day to come home to a house that we bought so that we could get what we call sweat equity. And if you've ever done that before, you know what that means. That you come home and that you may or may not have a bedroom. And you're in the process of building all these things. We gutted every wall out of that house, changed every bit of the flooring, all this during this time when I'm trying to accomplish these two other things. And by the time I got done, I decided that pastoring and got that house all done, God moved us away from there, and I concentrated on the one job that I had, which was not now an hour away because I moved and had a chance to go to another church and sit, just like you guys are doing, sit. And listen to someone else talk for a while. I spent 7 years telling them everything I knew over and over and over and over again. And so I took time to sit. And you know, I sat there and I said, I'm going to get some refreshment because during that time of just putting out and putting out and putting out, I started to become very stale in my own personal relationship with God. And I said, I've got to be healed in this area of my heart because I become very jaded in regard to the ministry. And as I sat there and then I started refreshing and maturing and things along that line, I started realizing I can't just sit here. I just can't just sit here. And so before long, I found myself getting involved with their different aspects of the ministry, started in the music ministry, got involved with their drama, got involved before I knew it, I was a deacon and I was doing all these various things. And that then became God's springboard to get me back into a pastorate again and going on. But the one thing I learned from that is that there's not a division between the maturing process and the ministering process. That they go hand in hand because you can only mature to a certain extent without the ministry. Because they keep on pulling you up and forth. So for your word, smile. That's all you have to know about smile. Is remembering that spiritual maturity involves love's expression. My favorite verse in Scripture is Galatians 5:13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Book of Galatians is telling us how to contrast between living for yourself in your own flesh and living by a spiritual design of God's Holy Spirit working through our life. Those of you who are familiar with Galatians 5 will know it. Right at the end of it, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, those types of things. Those things that are outflowing of God working in your life. Some of you are into plants. And you're into trees. We have planted trees everywhere we've been. Almost feel like Johnny Appleseed sometimes. But every place we've lived, we've planted trees so that someone else can enjoy the fruit. Because by the time the tree matured to give forth fruit, we were in a different house and it really wasn't appropriate to drive to so many miles back and start picking the fruit off the house we sold them. But the one thing we do know by faith is that when you plant the tree and as it gets to a place of maturity, depending upon the type of tree it is, it will put forth fruit so that you can be able to enjoy that. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. As God is working in our life, certain fruit will come out of it. That's the context of this passage talking about spiritual fruit. And that's why when it talks about the element of liberty, I see that as just like a plant that has been kept in a little confined area where its roots can't grow. And it can only get so big, and you take and you transplant that thing and put it into a place where the roots can go wherever it wants to. That thing can grow and flourish and give forth fruit. Same thing true. We have a little goldfish. You keep the little goldfish in a little goldfish bowl, and it remains a little goldfish. But then if you make the mistake of getting it a bigger tank, then it becomes bigger, and it eats more goldfish food. And you end up having to spend more money on the thing, and you have to clean up more stuff. But so the bigger the tank you give it, the more it wants to grow. And this is the concept of freedom. God has said He has set us all free through Jesus Christ. Not so that we can just bring everything into ourselves, but so that we could grow, mature, give forth fruit. And He says, here's what you should do from this spiritual maturity, is that we should not only use this, we should not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but ourselves, but through love. That element of true gives the idea of the involvement that we have. Spiritual maturity involves, is through this, through love, that we are to serve one another. For in that law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The expression comes out. So that the end result is I grow to become more like Christ. I get secure in the fact that I have a relationship with Him. I get secure in the fact that I can become like Him through studying the Word of God. The natural thing from that should be I should bear forth fruit, and that should also involve me wanting to serve and do things to please God and to help this process continue on. So you have spiritual maturity involves love's expression. That's the smile. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Smile. All right. The second word was what? Shape. Try again. Shape. We're going to talk about shape now. Before we do so, let's look at another good passage of Scripture. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That word workmanship is similar to the word product or even fabric. Those of you that have worked with fabric, whether it's quilting or sewing or something along that line, you know that you can start out with some pieces and scraps and whatever and come out with a wonderful workmanship. And that's essentially what we see here, the fabric or fabrication, those who are involved with taking things from nothing and becoming something as a result of it. That's the idea. It says we are His workmanship. He has a plan to take the very fibers of our life and make it into something for His glory. Created. The word created there has the idea of something that is formed or shaped. Good. Formed or shaped. And that God has a plan of shaping our lives to be used in a special way. One of the things I've discovered as I've talked with individuals, that they're not too unlike me. When I first started going to church, there were some things that really came to my mind. Number one, I knew I wanted to be connected with God. Number two, I knew I wanted to change some habits in my life. Number three, I wanted to belong to this group of people and feel like I had some community. But the one thing I didn't think about as I looked around, I didn't look around and say, whose job do I want to take? I didn't come there thinking, I want to do what that person's doing, or I want to do what that person's doing, or I want to do that person. I just didn't have that kind of agenda to think, I'm coming into this church to take over someone's job. And that's probably true of most people that are in here. That you didn't come into church with the idea of, I want to take that person's job. You come in with a whole different agenda. But what's interesting is that God has a desire and a plan to work through our shape. And this, by the way, is the acrostic that you'll find in the book if you read it. About 4 chapters of this next week are dedicated to explaining, introducing, and applying this issue of shape. So I won't spend as much time on this. But the idea is that God has a way of putting us together to be used in a special way. I'm just going to cover them real quickly. First of all, is the element of our spiritual gifts. And then the fact that we have a heart or a desire for certain things. Thirdly, even before we accept Christ and have the Holy Spirit come into our life, we have some basic abilities that we can do. Fourthly, we have an element of our personality. Did you realize there's people in here different than you are? Point one out. Go ahead. No, I don't do that. To look at their personality and how they respond to things is different. There are some people who are really shy. Okay, all the shy people stand up and shout. No, we won't do that. There's people who are really shy and they aren't interested in being at that point of talking and sharing a lot of things. Then there's other people, they just love that opportunity. If I said, stand up and shout, they'd be doing it right now, so I'm not going to give them that opportunity. But there are different personalities and also different experiences. And that in Ephesians 2:10, we look at that created, that form, that shape, that type of expression. Let me look at just a few verses on these and just kind of highlight them quickly and then give you some comment on this before we go to our third word. But first of all, I want to look at the issue of spiritual gifts. In Romans 12, verse 6, actually there's four different areas in the Scriptures that you can go to that talk about spiritual gifts in particular, but Romans chapter 12 is one of my favorite areas because it comes on the heels of a passage that says, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. So right after that, he gives us this encouragement that there are gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and let us use them. That within our group, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God has a plan to supernaturally give you something that's going to help you to be a gift to the body of Christ. The body being those individuals that have placed their faith in Christ. That's something that allows you to be able to do something for God. Now, a lot of people get all hung up on trying to figure out what their spiritual gift is. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the whole idea is just realizing that God's purpose behind it is let us know that we're not all going to be alike. We're not all going to have the same strength. We're not all going to accomplish the same thing God wants. He wants to see that there's a diversity accomplishing unity for the purpose of accomplishing things. The second element is the word heart. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. There are some things that we just have a heart for. Now, for the most part, people who place their faith in Christ might have some general heart issues of concern about pleasing God. They might have general heart issues of concern about people. But I believe, too, God gives to individuals a particular area that touches their heart in regard to ministry. It might be working with children. It might be working with different age groups. It might be working in different socio-economical type situations. It might be being involved with certain types of things and seeing certain things happen. And just as this passage here is talking about those who might desire the office of a pastor, that word desire is that same word of lust. Okay? It's the same word lust, only used in a positive way. But you can actually have a desire for a particular type of ministry and see it happen, where your heart might beat. So we take that into consideration. The third thing might be the areas of ability, those things that we can do. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now many of us, we get a poll and say, what are your abilities? And some of you guys say, I don't have any abilities. You have abilities. You have abilities. They may not all come out the same way you want them to be compared to other people, but God has not brought you into this world without any ability. He's got a plan to use you in some specific way. Some of you have specific abilities as regard to music or art or using your hands to create things or your minds or something along those lines. And you're very much aware what your abilities are. Some of you are like me that are wondering, now what is my ability? What can I do? Well, a lot of that is learning that we can serve. And that's an ability to serve, ability to use our time, ability to care for people and things along that line. The fourth word is our personality. I always have fun with the issue of personality. The Bible doesn't have a specific verse that talks about God's giving us special personalities, but he does talk about the elements that some people are known by some characteristics about them. And an example I gave to us is about Jacob and Esau, twin brothers. They were born. One of them was really had a propensity to get out into the wilderness and go around and hunt. And he just had that kind of a desire to be away from home and get out there in the wilderness and hunt. And the other one liked staying at home. Now, what was it that drove that? I think it was because they're different personalities, different things that they were interested in, things that were driving them from their personality element. And although that there is not an actual, in my estimation, doctrine of personality that we should look at, but I think from observation we can see that we're not like everybody else. And we recognize some of those things that are negatives about ourselves. We're critical. Or we might worry a lot. Or we might be angry and intense about things, or seemingly driven. And we look at those types of personalities and not realize that on the other side of those are very positive elements. The critical person is an analytical person that basically is allowing the criticalness, instead of being used to build up, to tear down. The person who might be intense and finding themselves being aggressively angry has also, on the other side, an ability to get tasks done. They're very task-oriented. The individual who seems to be slothful or seems to be putting things off and doesn't seem to get things done on time may be a person who's very interested in personal relationships with other individuals and does take time to stop and smell the roses and take time to do these very things, and they're able to accomplish various things based on their personality. And we can go on and on and on these various things of recognizing how we might be different. And the fifth word is our experiences. And in the book of Timothy, we have the Apostle Paul saying, "You know, you've carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. You've noticed all these things in my life." And I think the Apostle Paul recognized how they played in his areas of service. There are things that have happened in your life that will come into play in what area you might be used of God to serve. As you recognize those different things, they may have seemed to be stumbling blocks, hurdles, but they may very well be stepping stones, ladders, bridges into other people's lives, of recognizing how our experience, whether it be our education or our lack thereof, or some of the trials we've gone through, helping us to be able to be used of God. First word was service with a smile. Try that again. Service with a smile. And then we serve through our shape. And the third word is scope. The scope of recognizing that there's some way of focusing on service. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul. He's towards the end of his ministry, and he's sharing some things with people. He says, "I do not consider myself to have arrived." And Apostle Paul, for those who have studied his life, is probably the most intensely mature Christian that you'll read about in the Scriptures and his impact in the world. But he says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this kind of mind." This servant kind of mind that we're going to talk about. This word goal is the word scopos, or the word we get the word scope from. That there's a goal. It can also be used as a word to pay attention to or make as your focus, this word scope. And so the question would be, when I think about wanting to serve, where do I point my mind? And we cover five different things. And I'll go on our last word. And that is what? Scope. Okay. Let's try that. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you. All right. I'm going to look at five words under scope. They each start with the beginning of the letter in scope. Okay? First one will be this. Scope would be stewardship. Then we'll look at confidence in Christ. And then we'll look at others. And then we'll look at the privilege of service and the word engaged. And we look at each one of them individually. Stewardship, one of the most important things in working with the element of service is recognizing that there's a difference between stewardship and ownership. So much of our life in desiring to serve God is based on the fact that we are caught up with trying to take ownership of so many different things. God wants us to be stewards. The passage that we have here in Corinthians says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Now, I want to take time to go back to our second word. You remember what it was? Shape. Okay. I'm going to go back to shape. Because many times what happens is when we talk about something about shape, spiritual gifts are harder, our abilities, our personality, our experience. When we talk about that, individuals start getting really frustrated because they're trying to look and analyze all these things and they're still trying to figure out, where do I fit in? Can I just share with you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, tells us what stewards do. Stewards are faithful. And just as when I started out in my trek with God, I had no clue. If anybody would have said, okay, here's Scott Owen, he's coming to church as a teenager. In X amount of years, he's going to be pastoring a church in Cedar Rapids. Not only would I laugh, but everybody in the congregation that knew me would laugh because they knew that didn't fit my shape, but they knew of me. Because we don't always recognize how our shape is until we start developing. And just as I wasn't developed in my walk with God early on in my Christian life, there's other individuals, maybe you today, that are not developed to a point where you recognize what your full shape is. But what God wants you to do is just be faithful. Faithful in growing, faithful in following God, faithful in being willing to serve. I thought my job was to be to lick all the envelopes and put the stuffers in for the church newsletter or fold the bulletin. That's what I thought. That fit my shape. I didn't like interacting with people. Didn't like being in front of people. Didn't like doing anything that would embarrass me. And that's something I could do behind the scenes and no one would know if I got a paper cut on my tongue or not. I would be able to do that on my own. So I just want to encourage you that this element of stewardship, of the faithfulness of God, in my estimation, overrides the issue of the shape. And we not to get so caught up in worrying about what our shape is, but that we use that possibly as a guideline as we continue to mature in Christ. The priority is grow. Try some things out. Try out various ministries. If I went based upon one of my first experiences, I wouldn't be here today, because it didn't go too well. If I had depended upon my ability to minister to children based upon my first experience in working with children in Vacation Bible School, I would have given up completely on ever even wanting to raise children, because I was given charge of the 2 and 3 year olds. And I didn't think 2 and 3 year olds would be that bad. But to a college student, man, that was just like, I couldn't believe what was going on. They had me pinned up against a wall. I didn't know what to do. And someone else came in and rescued me. I go, oh, thank you. What do you do with them anyways? But now a very great part of my ministry is loving to work with children and being able to minister in their lives. That comes from faithfulness, stewardship, of recognizing my body, my life is for God, not the other way around. Second word is confidence in Christ. So many times we don't get involved with ministry because we lack confidence in our shape. We may not trust our past experiences. We may not trust our personality. We may not trust our abilities or what we call inabilities. And as a result, we may desire not to do anything. We may sit back and say, I can't do anything. Well, I want to encourage us, this is that it's not based upon the confidence you have in yourself. It's the confidence you have in Christ. It's in that relationship with Him and what He can do through you. It's that resignation to Him and let Him be the one that can work through your life and accomplish some things. A third place that we ought to be looking, our focusing our attention, is on others and not ourselves. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Let each esteem others better than himself." And also says this, "Look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." One of the things that we need to be careful to help us to be good servants is to be concerned about looking out for other individuals. We get so caught up with how we look when we serve, or whether our needs are being met, or whether people are thrilled that we're doing what we should be doing. Whether instead we should be faithful in serving with a desire of having confidence in Christ with others on our mind rather than ourselves. The fourth word, P. 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Years ago, I used to joke around with my friends, and we would take on certain little projects at the school, at the church, and it would be, you know, things that we didn't like, and we'd talk about, "We're suffering for Jesus and doing this project." And usually it was when we had to, like, wash dishes or something like that. And I can remember we went up to camp, Bible camp, had a whole summer to work up at Bible camp, and had to clean the urinals and clean the, you know, all the things that junior boys can get dirty. And, you know, it just was a messy experience. And I remember we're suffering for Jesus here, you know, to get all this stuff done for our, they paid us, what, $15 a week back then, you know, $10, I got it, you know. But, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm just suffering for Jesus. But you know, I learned something as we go on that there's joy in serving Jesus. There is joy in really being used for God. And the Apostle Paul, he doesn't sit and say, "I don't know why God hogtied me on the way to Damascus, blinded me, and then as a part of making me be able to see again, wrote me into this this job of being one of his apostles to go around to the Gentiles and get beat up all the time and thrown out of town, and I can't wait to get it over with." You never see that out of the Apostle Paul. He says, "He's counted me faithful to put me into the ministry." He says, "I'm just so thrilled that God came into my life." And it's just so important for us folks to have that kind of attitude. Sometimes it is so true. I've seen dear folk myself where they're so burdened by the work of the ministry, you think that is the worst thing ever happened to them, for them to become a Christian and have to serve God. That God has designed for ministry and service to be a privilege, something that we get to do, not that we have to do. We started that early, talking about going to church. Talk with our kids about not having to go to church. They get to go to church. Makes a difference in how you look at it. You don't have to serve God. You get to serve God. And you get to use your abilities. Whether your abilities be something along the lines of little simple tasks or doing great things, you can use them for God. And you can, it'll be a great privilege for His glory. The fifth area is that of being engaged as opposed to comparing. One of the things that is very difficult for us, and it started out with Peter in John chapter 21, when Jesus was telling Peter about what his life would be after he reinstated him into his plan. Peter denied him, and Jesus comes to him and says, "I got a plan for you. You're going to accomplish all these things, and you're going to go through some tough times. People are going to lead you around bound and things like that." And I remember reading that passage in John 21 where Peter turns to Jesus and says, "Well, what about John? What's going to happen to John? Is he going to have the same things that I have?" Your favorite one. You know, the preacher's pet or whatever. Is John going to have to go through these same things? And it's interesting what Jesus said. He says, "What is that to you?" And that same answer comes to each of us as we have so much concern about whether our ministry compares to somebody else's ministry, whether I'm getting as much recognition as someone else, or whether our church is accomplishing more than another church, or whether I am actually doing the best ministry in the church or someone else. And we get this idea of comparison and say, well, I don't want to do that kind of ministry. That doesn't get much recognition. I'd rather do something else. But to recognize instead that, you know, that God has given us not only a privilege, but He's given us the focus to engage our mind on what our job is. So we not be so distracted by what else is going on around us. He tells us in Romans chapter 14, not to be so concerned about judging somebody else's servant. What's so-and-so doing? Whose servant are they? They're not your servant. They're God's servant. We get so caught up, and he says, be engaged. Be engaged in what you're doing. Be so consumed in it. We looked at three different words. We looked at the word smile. We looked at the word shape. And we looked at the word scope. And whether you're out here trying to figure out whether you're a cross, trying to get stuck in a square hole, or getting all confused in what you need to be doing, that you not focus on that, but instead you focus upon being faithful to God, being willing to be used to Him. Keep your mind in the right areas. Scope, realizing you're a steward, realizing that your confidence is in Christ, realizing that your focus is on others, realizing that it is a privilege to serve, and realizing that I'm to engage in what I'm doing, that I should examine my own work and have rejoicing in myself alone and not worrying about what other people are doing. Are you in shape to serve? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The verses that are before this passage are verses 8 and 9 to help clarify something that I wrestled with early on in my life. I wanted to be good. When I first met Christians, I wanted to change my language, so I stopped swearing. I started changing some of my outward behavior in hopes to please them and ultimately please God. But the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And you know what, folks? I would have. If I thought my good behavior, if I thought that the things that I did, the things that I changed in my life would make me right with God, oh, I wouldn't get up and, you know, brag in front of other people. But I would be proud of the fact that I was able to accomplish those things. I would be proud that I was able to be better than somebody else. I would be proud that I was able to discipline myself, to eliminate from myself those things that have been a distraction in my life. But the Bible says it is not based upon our own works that we can come to God. It's only through Jesus Christ. It's not of ourselves. It's by grace. It's a gift that has been given to us. Because if it would be by works, we would indeed boast about it. We would indeed take the credit for it. We would indeed say, it's because of me. It's because of what I've done. But God wants us to remember this, that the works that we do for Him are not to be able to be pleasing to Him and be right with Him and to earn eternity. He makes it very clear in this passage. It says, not by works, lest anyone should boast. We are saved through faith as no works on our own. That just what through Jesus Christ has gone through. If you've observed the Passion, if you've heard people talk about the Passion, you read the last part of the Gospels, you know that Jesus Christ died. That death, the Bible says, paid the penalty of sin. And not just generally, but specifically of those individuals willing to trust in that. And that faith in that is what pays for that penalty of sin, so that we wouldn't be boasting. We'd only be appreciating what God has done. So none of my works can overcome what Jesus Christ has done. None of my works are better than what Jesus did. They don't replace His works. They don't supplement His works. My works come afterwards. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That our good works come not so that we can please or come before a judge and try to convince the judge that we're righteous. They instead come because we have been declared righteous through Jesus Christ, and now we are put into a family of God, and now we've come before a Father to please out of love rather than out of fear. What a want! That's how we can serve Him with great joy. That's how we can serve Him with great peace. That's how we can start seeing fruit coming in our life. But we have to be in that shape to serve. We have to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. I'm going to close our time in prayer, but as I pray, I want you to be thinking. Some of you have placed your faith in Christ, and you know that you have assurance of eternity, and maybe you're just dwelling on how you can best show your appreciation for it to God. Some of you might be concerned about whether or not you have a relationship with God the way where you can have a confidence of spending eternity with Him. And I just encourage you, while I pray, maybe to ask Jesus to be your personal Savior. Father, as I come to You in prayer, I want to pray this morning for folks in a variety of situations. There will be individuals that maybe, Lord, that have placed their faith in You, but maybe they've chosen not to be involved. Maybe they've just looked at maturing process as sitting and learning and are desiring to develop that aspect of their life and have not really stepped into the area of service. Father, I pray that You'll work in their hearts and help them to see the great joy and value and privilege of serving You. Father, there might be individuals who have been serving and are just kind of on the burnt-out phase. They're discouraged. They need to be renovated in their service. Maybe they're in the wrong area of service. Maybe they just need to resign some of these areas over to You. Father, possibly there's individuals who have not placed their faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's for them I pray now that they might understand that Your Son has died on the cross to pay the penalty of their sin, that they might know that they can have a personal relationship with You, that they might know that they belong to You, and that they can please You and then become like You. Father, I pray that they might make that decision this morning to place their faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who pays the penalty for sin. Father, I thank You again for this opportunity to pray, and I pray that You will bless Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite